This morning, as we consider the account of the Lord's birth there in Luke chapter 2, we invite you to turn there. Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloth, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Familiarity, unfortunately, can numb us, if you will. Here's a story, the Christmas story that we've heard so many times from youth on. But the danger of something that we've heard so often is we can get so used to it. And so my prayer this morning would be that we wouldn't fall prey to that, that we would shake off any lethargy and any like, oh yeah, same old story, and may it hit us fresh and anew. That's my prayer. This would hit us fresh and anew this morning. As we come to this point in the text, what we have is this. There now lies in this feeding trough, that's what a manger is, God incarnate. God had said that this would be so. Back in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 23, "For behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated, "God with us." So in this one who's lying in the manger, we have God himself, God with us, God incarnate, lying there. Be careful. Don't get used to that. But rather, think of the marvel of that. Think of it. God funneled down into a little baby. Wonder of wonders. How can it be? This morning, I'm going to extend you an invitation. I want to invite you to travel with me now because we're going to go back to that stable or a cave or whatever you pictured at. We've all seen so many pictures and all of manger scenes and we all have ideas of what we think it must have looked like there. Was it a stable? Was it a cave? What was it? And that's not the point. Whatever you pictured to be, travel with me. I'll probably refer to it as the stable or something this morning. But the point is, the invitation this morning is, I want us to go sit in the stable and consider the manger. I want us to go there and just picture us now, if you will, pull up a bale of hay with me. Or just nestle down and sit on the floor there or something. Grab a place maybe on a rail inside the stall there or something. But let's all gather around the manger. And let's see it fresh and anew. We know what's going on because we can't not remember what we've read. But let's try to go back and experience it afresh and anew. Let's consider now the manger. And in particular, I want to think about what the message in the manger is. Why is God doing it the way he's doing it? Because it's the one in the manger who is the message of Christmas. And that's what I've called our time together this morning, the message in the manger. Let's pray. Lord, we do lift up to you the things going on in our lives. Many struggles could be represented here this morning, many trials. And yet, Lord, we're going to consider your answer, that core answer to our real needs. Lord, help us to hear afresh and anew this morning what you're trying to say through all of this. Help us to really hear the message in the manger, the one who is the message in the manger. So, Lord, thank you. Thank you for all we're about to consider. All glory to you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. On the heels of this awesome event of God coming into this world as a baby and being laid there in a manger, what happens next in our text is it tells us an angel now comes and he visits some shepherds. And the angel has a special announcement, a series of important things that he wants the shepherds to know about. For this morning, to help us go back to the stable, back to the manger, to consider this in hopefully a fresh and new way, I want us to jump ahead for a moment. Go, if you would, down to verse 15, to that point in which the angel has already come and given the message. But I want you to notice something. Go to verse 15 now. So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at these things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Mary and Joseph, they already know how this baby came to be. They know of that supernatural conception that took place and all. And as this unfolds, we read that Mary continues to take it in, and she's pondering it in her heart. What's this all going to mean? How is this going to go? What's God doing? She's taking it in. But in particular, I want you to notice something. It says the shepherds make their way to that manger. Now remember, we're already there. We're sitting in the manger. We're considering this baby. Something's going on. What's happening here? And all of a sudden, some shepherds show up. And they begin to recount to us a message that some angels gave them. And what does it say? It tells us this is going on. Verse 18. And all those who heard it marveled at those things that were told them by the shepherds. So there's some people gathered around. And we're going to picture that we're there with them. And the shepherds now show up and they've got a message. Hey, an angel came and talked to us. He did. Yeah. What did he say? And they begin to share with us. That was put before us this morning, and what's important to think about is this. See, as the shepherds come to recount what the angels have told them, and as we're sitting there thinking about this, it causes us now to get back to our focus, and that is this. See, we know, who is lying there? It's God Himself. So the question this morning before us is, why? What is God saying to us by entering the world in such a manner? God, why would He come in such a place, in such a way? What's the message? What are you trying to say to us, God? And so the question becomes, what is the message in the manger? I'm not saying so much what is the message of the manger. Could be the same terminology, really. But I want us to see, though, the real point here is the message in the manger. For the message is going to be the one who is in the manger. Jesus is the message in the manger. He Himself is God's message to us. And we'll see why I say that as we move through this. So what is the message? What's God saying here in this one lying there? Well, let's listen to what the angels say about all of it and see if we can learn what the message in the manger is. Take it personal. It's the only way to be received. It's the only way really to... His presence is aimed at us personally. Make sure we take it as such. Well, we're going to listen now. We're going to go back and listen to what the... Because what the shepherds say is what the angels told them. So let's read that now. Let's go back. We're going to start at verse 8. Oh, by the way, I should warn you ahead of time. I don't do this very often because I don't want it to become a gimmick or something, but this morning I'm going to utilize you guys. We've done this before, it's been a while, and that is, picture we're all sitting around here now. We're sitting around the manger, we're sitting around the stable. What's this all about? What's God saying in this one that's laying there? And all some shepherds come in, and they're going to start to share some things. Well, I want to help us remember it. God said it, it must be important. You're going to help me. We're going to help one another lay hold of what the message in the manger is. Verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were greatly afraid. I don't see why, just your typical night. Not quite. I mean, these are just everyday people doing everyday things, but God now breaks into their situation. At first, they're afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid." The first message, the first part of the message is God, through the angel, tells the shepherds, "Don't be afraid." Now, in its direct context, of course, it's an angel speaking to some shepherds whose knees are probably knocking at this point, like, "Oh man, what's this mean? An angel? I mean, that would get your attention. Are we in big trouble? What's going to go on?" So the first thing the angel does is, "Now, don't be afraid." But don't limit it to just that angel, to those shepherds. For in declaring that, he's declaring that which all of us need to hear. The words fear, fear not, afraid, those different types of expressions of that feeling we can have, appears over 360 times in God's Word. The word fear or afraid. And what does that tell us? It tells us that God knows our tendency to be afraid, to be anxious, to be worried. And there seemingly is so many things we fall prey to being afraid of. We're afraid of death. We're afraid of failure. We can be afraid of rejection. We can be afraid. We have health fears. We have financial fears. We have relationship fears. There's so many fears that can plague us. And so the Lord comes along and he speaks of, "Now don't be afraid." Because he knows we are a people who tend to be afraid. We have fears of loneliness. We have fears of meaninglessness. It's a long list, unfortunately, of potential fears. And the Lord mentions that several times in Scripture, but I want us to remember something. Of those 360 plus times, if you were to take the time to search God's Word, we find that very often, right after you read the words, "Fear not," or "Do not be afraid," in Scripture we find what expression next? What does God say why we shouldn't be? "Fear not, for I am with you." God's remedy for our fears is his presence. And so with the arrival of Jesus comes that first proclamation, that good news. Don't need to be afraid any longer. Christmas is God's answer to our fears. Do not be afraid. Well, I'm going to need somebody to help me remember that first part of this, that first declaration. All you have to do is when I call upon you, just repeat that first part of their announcement is, "Do not be afraid." Who can say that nice and loud for us? David, you're going to go for it? Now, you can't just say it to me. You've got to say it so they can hear you way back there. What's the first part of this pronouncement? Do not be afraid. Good job, good job. Now, why should we not be afraid? What's it say next? "For behold, I bring you good tidings." I want to stop at that point. The message in the manger is good tidings. A better way to put it would be good news in our vernacular today. Gospel means good news. The one lying in the manger, the message of this one in the manger is good news. The good news that is the answer to all we go through. The good news for our lives has come. If God pronounces something as good, how good is it? Really good. Really good. And so the second part of the announcement is good news. Who can remember that? Dusty wants to try it. Go for it.
Good news.
Good news. So far, we're sitting there. The shepherds come in. We're looking at the manger. What's the message here, God? What? The message is the one. Well, what does he bring? Well, what's the message?
Do not be afraid.
Good news.
There's good news. What kind of good news? What's it say next? Good news. There is good news of great joy. Not just joy, great joy. Joy. Our hearts hunger for real joy. Don't mistake joy for happiness. Nothing wrong with happiness in and of itself, but happiness is that feeling, that emotional feeling we get when something goes well, we have a fun day. You go to Disneyland, happiest place on earth, till you pay for the ticket. It's like, ow, you got to be kidding me. But after you get that over with, then you go in and you have fun, and you have a happy day. But that fades, doesn't it? On the way home, you realize, oh, the bills are still at home, and I got pressure the next day at work, and all those things. So it was happy. But joy, abiding joy, fullness of joy, no, great joy is only found in the message in the manger. God has sent the one who is great joy. Who's going to help me remember great joy? Let's spread this around over here somewhere. Wayne, go for it. You're going to be great joy. So the message now, we're sitting there taking this in. We're back there. You're on your bale of hay, checking out the baby. The shepherds show up, and you're going, what's going on? The angel told us what's going on. What's going on is this.
Don't be afraid.
There's good news of great joy. You with me?
Yeah.
I go, yeah, that's good. Yeah, no, go for it. Okay, pressing on. Well, there's good tidings of great joy, which will be to who? To all people. No one is excluded from this good news. No one is left out of the message in the manger. It's to all people. Now, some of us might feel like, well, of course it's to me. Be careful. None of us deserve this message. None of us deserve the one who is the message of God to us. This is all of grace and mercy and love. But if we'll just remember and get a right perspective of what it was like before Him, we begin to appreciate just that part of this message. It's good news, and it's to everyone, not just a select few. That it doesn't matter how smart we are, or lack thereof. Doesn't matter how cute you are, or lack thereof. Doesn't matter your income level. Doesn't matter about where you live. Jesus isn't just for Americans. It's for all people everywhere. We all have a great need, and He is our great answer, is the idea. Jesus is for everybody. Who's going to help me remember that this is to all people? Who's going to help me remember this is to all people? That's not too hard. Sue's going to do that for me. Oh, now I know. Come on. Do we hear? I got some mess. Huh? It's to all people. Okay, so now here we're going to go. We're still rolling now. The message in the manger is what?
Do not be afraid.
There's good news.
Great joy.
Of great joy. And it's to who?
All.
It's to all people. Good. Now we're doing good. Well, let's look at verse 11 as we continue to learn what the message in the manger is. Verse 11. For there is born to you. A minute ago he says to all people. But you might fall in the pattern of saying, well, that's kind of general. Yeah, that's for everybody. Don't stay right there. This makes it more specific. This aims it. For there is born to you. What am I saying? Put your name in there this morning. Why is God here? What's the message in this one? Hey, I got good news. For who? For you. Born for Dale. Born for you. What am I saying? Your name is on the tag. This gift of God has your name on the tag. So make it personal this morning. Hear this as speaking to you, right, in your circumstances. Yes, whatever's been going on, whatever you've done, this is a message for us. He doesn't exclude anybody. Christmas is meant to be taken personally. It's meant to lead us to encounter God personally, to personally have His presence. This one who is the message of Christmas is for each one of us. And it's for us individually, and it's the only way to be received individually and personally. Born to you. Who wants to do that one for me? Dennis wants to tackle it way back over there. Go for it, Dennis. Say,
born to you.
Hey, good job. You can tell he teaches the junior hires. Boom, get it right out there. So, and we appreciate it big time. Okay, so the message of the one in the manger, as we're learning this, what's this about? What's it about?
Do not be afraid.
We don't have to be afraid anymore. Why?
Good news.
There's good news of great joy to all people. We're doing good. We're plugging right along. For born to you. Well, who's born to you? Now we're getting down to the crux of it, aren't we? Look, what does it say? For there's born to you this day in the city of David a Savior. And there you have it. It all rotates around that. For that is our real need. We needed saving. There was that gap that sin had created that nothing we could do could span it. And unless He did something, we're lost eternally. What did He do? That's the one who is the message of the manger. He came to do for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. He came to deal with our sin. And sometimes that's where some people get a little kind of frustrated by this. They don't like that part. Pastor, I like the warm feelings of Christmas. I like the warm family things. I like the idea of a little baby and some little hay in a manger. Some sheep gathered around. Stars in the sky. I like all that, Pastor, but why do you got to bring up sin? Because that's why He's there. He didn't just come to give us warm, fuzzy feelings. He's a man on a mission. A baby will become a man on a mission. The whole time He's on a mission. Think about that. All the other stuff of Christmas can be cute, but sin is ugly, and it would have kept us out of heaven forever. And so there has to be a remedy, and that's the meaning of why He came. That's why there is a Christmas. That's the message of the one in the manger. He is the Savior. If he's going to die on the cross for our sin, He has to come here to do that. He has to enter this world. And wonder of wonders, He chose to come as a baby. To grow, to relate, that we can understand. He knows what it's like to make this whole life's journey. That's what Christmas is about. You can't separate the cradle from the cross. It's all part of the same important message. Same important answer for our lives. But imagine we were sitting there and we're just discovering this. We hadn't grown up in it. We're maybe we'd grown up under the law and all the struggle that had been going on. But all of a sudden, God breaks through. And we're learning now what this means. See, we're so used to it. But think we'd be going, whoa, this changes everything. This is good news for sure. So, a Savior. God has sent a Savior to meet man's greatest need. Who's going to remember a Savior for me? So, you want to go for it? I got a volunteer. I see that hand. A Savior. Okay, let's go through the list now. What's the message of the one in the manger? David, start out.
Do not be afraid.
Do not be afraid.
Good
There's good news great of great joy to all people. So far, born to you. There. I was marveling. I was kind of remember where everybody is so far. Born to you. A Savior. And what does it say now about the Savior? We press on through this awesome announcement. A Savior who is Christ the Lord. God, in the announcement of what the message of the one is, what's the message of the one in the manger? What's the message here? That He's Jesus, a Savior, and that He's Christ the Lord. So notice the addition now of that part of this description. He's a Savior who is Christ the Lord. I'm told that in the Greek, Luke doesn't put any articles in all this to describe who Jesus is. That in the Greek, it basically reads like this. Savior, Christ, Lord. That in the one in the manger, we have Savior. Savior, of course, means He's our deliverer. Came to save us from our sins. That He's Christ. Christ is the Greek version of the Hebrew Messiah. So in Jesus you have the Deliverer, you have the Messiah, which means the Anointed One, and you have Lord. Lord means He's supreme in authority. Basically, it's saying, make no mistake about it as to who's lying there. That God has come, God, second person of the Trinity, God incarnate is lying there, and He is, He's the deliverer, He's the Savior. And He is Christ. He's the Messiah. And He's Lord. That little baby is Lord. Wonder of wonders, lying there in the hay. So we want to make sure we remember that part of it. Christ the Lord. Who's going to remember that for me? Christ the Lord. All right. You guys are both into this, you know. Just go ahead and say that. He's Christ the Lord.
Christ the Lord.
Good. So, here we go. We're still learning now. What's the message? What's the message in the one in the manger?
Do not be afraid.
Don't be afraid.
Good,
there's good news,
great
of great joy to all people.
Born to you.
A Savior who is Christ
the Lord.
You guys are doing great. You're doing great. You're being brave. I don't know if I'd volunteer if I was out there. You guys are doing great. You're doing great out there. Well, what else do we learn in all this? Look at verse 12 now. For time's sake, I'll read a couple of verses here. And this will be the sign to you. You'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloth, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. The angel concludes his part of the announcement, and all of a sudden now, there's a bunch of angels that join with him. The multitude, this host of angels show up, and they begin to declare something. They're announcing some awesome things. And I want us to notice two parts in particular right now to this awesome anthem that they are singing. First of all, they say, glory to God in the highest. That in this message, the way God's doing this, the way He set it up, the message in the manger, as in all things, in the end, the goal, all glory to God. That it will give God glory. He set this up in a way that gives Him glory. No person would ever devise this whole way of being saved, of experiencing God's presence. Who would sit there and say, okay, I think I'll solve man's dilemma. Here, God, here's how I want you to do, God. I want you to come as a baby and go to the cross and die. No one would be that bold. When people set their answer up as this, well, let's just set it up so that we, if we work hard enough, God will accept us. If our good outweighs the bad, we get to go in. That we're basically good people. We didn't really mean what we did. He's going to let me in. All those things man comes up with. That's man's way. But that would give glory to man. That would point to man's efforts. God will have nothing to do with that. This will all be about what He did. And in the end, in heaven, continually the praise will be glory to God. You saved me from me. You did this. It's to give God glory. When you think of God reaching down to man and coming in the way that He did, again, I mean, the angels are now commissioned to go sing about it and declare about it, but they've been watching all this. Think what it must have been like to see God become a baby. How does that happen? But He did it. Now they're commissioned, go sing about it. Glory to God is the first thing. They start to sing out, glory to God in the highest. They're watching this going, whoa, wonder of wonders. See, do we get excited like that? They're watching it. They're just going, whoa, glory to God. This whole thing, the whole salvation plan gives glory to God. So what's part of the message here? Give glory to God. Who's going to remember glory to God? Who can remember glory to God for me? You want me? I can use the army method, but I don't know if that would be... Go for it.
Glory to God.
Okay, let's see if we're still remembering where we're at around here.
Do not be afraid.
Don't be afraid.
Good news.
There's good news of great joy. And it's to all people. For there is born to you a Savior who's Christ the Lord. And now we just added to it what? The response? Glory to God. This one, the message of the manger is give glory to God. Well, one last thing here. I said there was two parts to their announcement. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. There's some discussion by commentators as to how that should all be translated. I'm not going to worry about that too much right now. All I want to say is this. What's the result of it? That there's peace available. That for those who receive this one who is the message in the manger, when you receive Jesus in your heart, he brings peace with him.
Amen.
There you go. Not like the world gives, but real peace. That which is so elusive to us. Real peace. He brings peace with God. We're not enemies with God anymore. We don't have to fight against God anymore. He brings a peace with God, and he brings the peace of God. That peace that passes understanding. That peace he gives us in the midst of everything. I'm doing that because I picture him holding us through it all. And when it doesn't make sense, I don't get it, but I'm at peace even in the midst of this I'm going through. There's a peace. That's what he brings. Peace is the declaration. Peace is what he offers to us. Who's going to remember that one for us? Peace. Sherry, why don't you go for it? You're going to be in charge of peace. And that's the last one. We made it. We got peace covered here. All right, we're there. Let's see how we're doing now so far. Let's hear the message.
Do not be afraid.
Don't be afraid.
Good news.
Good news.
Great joy.
For there's born to you
a Savior,
Christ the Lord. Christ the Lord.
Glory to God.
Glory to God. And peace. The message in the manger. Jesus is the message in the manger. So what is the message? That there's a Savior. That there's a Messiah. And that Messiah is the one in the manger. Like I said, he is the message. Jesus is the message. And the message is this. There's salvation. There's a deliverer. There's peace. There's forgiveness. There's forgiveness in the one in the manger. There's hope and life and great joy in the one in the manger. There's an offer of God's presence in and through the one in the manger. That's the message in the manger. It says when the people heard it, they marveled. What will our reaction be? You know, the manger is empty now. We can't go visit that actual manger and find Jesus, the baby, laying there. That was a stopover, if you will. But the manger is empty. The cross is empty now as we look back. The cross, we have the cross around to show us or remind us what Jesus did on the cross for us, but we don't have Jesus on our cross because he's not on the cross still. The cross is empty now. The tomb is empty now. It was part of the journey, but death couldn't hold him, right? He rose again. An empty manger, an empty cross, an empty tomb. He's risen. He sits at the right hand of the Father now, ever living to make intercession for us. The one who is the message made that journey for us. Made each of those stops, if you will, because he had to accomplish the big purpose, the mission he was on. It was part of the journey. And yet all those things are empty, and it's important they are, because you know what? They're empty so that we don't have to have empty lives. They're empty now so we don't have an empty eternity. That's the way I had to accomplish each thing. That's the message in the manger. Jesus is the message. People are often wanting God to show up in big ways. And we might have designed God to show up with big fireworks and live in a palace or something. That wasn't God's way. But it's even true today so often. I mean, people are looking for God to come with fireworks or something. I've heard it said, that people are looking for the God who shouts, but in doing that, they miss the God who whispers. That still, small, silent voice, that still, small voice. They're missing God because they want it to be like that when he's right there in the manger. People look, they were looking, you know, for a big parade. People can look for a big parade and fanfare. But by doing that, you miss the God who came in a manger. So humbly, so straightforward, so available to shepherds and to people like you and I. What's the message in the manger? That God has come. Emmanuel, God with us. To what end? For what purpose? God, what are you trying to say? What's the message? The message is the one in the manger. He is the one that we need. For what purpose? That he might be in us. That we might have his very presence. And what does his presence usher into our lives? You ready? What does his presence usher? We don't have to be afraid anymore.
Good news.
That we can know there's good news.
Great joy.
Of great joy. And it's for every single one of us. That there is
born to you,
specifically to you. Who?
Savior.
A Savior, who is Christ the Lord. The result?
Glory to God.
Glory to God. Peace. No better message. Have you received the one who is the message? If you haven't, do it. There'll be prayer partners back in the corner. But if you have, what does it say they did? They marveled. I'm going to invite the worship team up at this time. We have one more verse to tackle. I see the Bible's closing. It's okay. You can trust me. I'll read it the way it says it. Oh, by the way, for those of you that volunteered, well done. I give you much credit. You've done good. As the team comes up now, let's look at this response, verse 20. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. The angel told them the message. They went to the stable where we were and heard the message. What an awesome message we've looked at this morning. The message of the one who is the message, the one who is in the manger. And then it says what? They went home and stayed the same. Same-o. No, they went home glorifying and praising God for all the things they'd heard and seen. It says the people marveled. It says the shepherds glorified and praised God for it all. It's our turn. It's our turn right now. The team's going to lead us and give us an opportunity to do just that. Let's join the team as we praise and worship the one who is the message. Let's go for it. Heavenly Father, for that which we have been reminded of this morning, for that which you've invited us to, this whole call to sit and to once again heart consider, we thank you. And truly, Lord, you have broken into our lives. You have, your light has broken through the darkness that we were in, and you brought us into that place of, by your mercy and grace, being yours. We marvel. We marvel at that. Lord, we head back out into a world that is struggling and hurting. We go into our circumstances. But as we do, Lord, thank you. Thank you for the message of the one in the manger. Thank you that you've given us that which transcends all. It's changed everything. Help us, Lord. Lord, help us have this. Well, don't let us take it as same old, Lord. Don't let it be distant, Lord. Help us to, once again, receive it as you intended, personal, aimed at each one, rooted in your great love, drawing us into that fellowship with you, that very presence with you. Thank you, Lord. And thank you for all that brings into our lives. Lord, we're just responding now. We're just responding by declaring that which the angel said. All glory to you. Thank you for it. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. And may you continually know and grow in the one who is the message of the manger. Amen.